So, last time, we started the discussion of how one determines his residency with applications that go beyond Erech Hatzeros. We talked about it for Erech Tchumen as well. We talked about it in terms of Erech Hatzeros. Number one, in terms of are you a resident such that you have to participate and you can cause a requirement for setting up an Eruv, as well as the question of what is your bayit, such that you may not transport from there into the Chatzer or from the Chatzer into there. But in the other places, and in between the other places, you would be allowed to transport. And I noted at the time, everyone seems to use the same standard, except for that one voice of concern in the Prima Gadim about equating Erev Chazer with Erev Tchumen. So we saw the Gemara in Erev, in Ayin Beis and Beis, Ayin Gimel Med Aleph, and the idea of Makom Pito, that we go by the place where you eat. We said that that is indeed the way that we paskin, both for Jews and for non-Jews. The place where you eat is what's going to matter. We'll talk about today, hopefully, the question of the Jew who leaves on Shabbos, leaves before Shabbos, the non-Jew who leaves on or before and then returns. And we talked about the question of what this means. When we say it's the place where your food is, does that mean that your food is the Eruv? Or does that mean that you don't need an Eruv? And we distinguished between where your food is there and when you are eating there. If it's that you're eating there, then we say that there's no Eruv required. This is, you know, it's not that it is an Eruv, there is no Eruv. On the other hand, if it's simply that your food is stored there, then yes, the food is functioning as an Eruv. And there are all sorts of practical applications to that. Is a bracha appropriate? Do you need intent for it to be an Eruv? What if they're makbid not to share their food, but it's all stored in one space? Could you count it? And so forth. Okay, then we moved into the question of the space in which the food is kept. And we asked the question of whether that room that you eat in, that's your dira, or is it the entire residence is your dira? And the Chazon Ish had said, if there's only one room designated for eating, that's where you live. That's your dira. And others say, no, it's the entire dira. And the last topic we discussed was the public space question. What you're talking about is a common area rather than one for which you personally own access to the space. So all that is from last time. What I want to do this time is to define what we mean when we say that you're eating there. So does that mean on Shabbos you eat there, during the week you eat there? Which meal on Shabbos would count? What if I'm just a guest? What if my food is there but I am away for Shabbos? And then, in the closing part, I'd want to deal with a couple of contemporary situations, one being a community that eats all its meals in a main dining room, but the individuals own their own individual meals and live in separate places, hotel, senior residence, summer camp. And the other case of a family that gives Shabbos food to another family. Someone has a baby, Mazel Tov, and others provide them with their Shabbos meals. Does that turn them into Mekabalei Pras, as far as the discussion earlier? And that I bring that not just because that's an interesting case, but I think it teaches a principle that's worth understanding. Okay, so which meal is it that you have to eat there in order for it to be called the place where you eat? So the first question is, what if I eat there during the week, but not this Shabbos, or not any Shabbos? What if I eat there on Shabbos, but not during the week? So we'll see that there are three different perspectives on this. Perspective number one is that you must eat there on Shabbos, and you must eat there during the week. In other words, this is where you eat. According to the Magid Mishnah, on the Rambam, we quoted the Magid Mishnah already earlier when we were talking about the two definitions of Mekabalei Pras, right? Mekabalei Pras, the standard view, Rashi's view was that Mekabalei Pras means you have people who receive from a central source either money to buy food or actual food, and then they go home and eat it, right? And what we said was they're all considered one big happy family until there are other people involved. Right, that was what the Aruch HaShulchan had said, because they're sort of neither here nor there. They're a little bit like one big happy family, a little bit not like one big happy family. That was the standard Mekabalei Pras definition. But as the Magid Mishnah noted in the Rambam in Hilchos Erev in Perek Dalet Halacha Vav, the Rambam says Mekabalei Pras are people who only eat there sometimes. That's what Mekabalei Pras means, and the rule is they don't establish dira there. So in that Gemara we say that they will prohibit, meaning an Eruv will be required, even at the times that they eat at their father's table. So accepting the Magid Mishnah's read of the Rambam believes you have to eat there all the time in order for it to really be Mekom Dira. If you eat there less than all the time, then you are Mekabalei Pras.
Is the Rambam say?
This is, well, the Magid Mishnah's read of the Rambam. Yeah, I didn't see anyone, frankly, who took him to task on it. So, you know, you could reasonably say, oh, this is the Rambam. Nonetheless, I preface it because no one else says this. Right. No one else takes this perspective that you have to eat there all the time in order for that to be your dira. Okay. The second view is the view articulated by the Betzel HaChokma in Chilek Hei Kuf Yud Beis, and his position is, you know, the rest of the world takes Mekabli Pras as just getting food to take home. That's really all it is. And he says the language of the Rishonim is fairly clear that we only care about where you are eating on that Shabbos. It doesn't matter where you ate on Tuesday. So if you take a look at Sources Yud Zayin, he says, "Va'adarab, nira lefini is daitim avur misoch diver of Oseinu or Rishonim. Hakol tali v'makom bita shall oso yom Shabbos shanu danan ala bilvad. All we care about is where you are eating on this Shabbos. That's the only factor. Ayin or zeruah shakasa v'hadamar anos nesiruvu b'beis hateven harize eir v'cetera. V'alim beis hateven oser elik shanim dorbo b'Shabbos. That's his key, is the fact that it says where you live on Shabbos, Kerab Yehuda Parakadar, Rabdar Makam Pitagarim, etc. That's his quote from the Or Zeruah. So he says, Harikisha Ochel Sham B'Shabbos, Ava Pishino Ochel Sham Kol Yimei HaChol Aser. So as long as he's eating there on Shabbos, that's the key. V'imeinu Ochel Sham B'Yom HaShabbos, Ava Pishu Ochel Sham Kol Yimei HaChol Eino Oser. And not only that, he's not a resident if he eats there on Shabbos, and I'm sorry, even if he's not a resident if he eats there during the week, but not on Shabbos. Ki hakol tola b'makom pito shel yom haShabbos. That's all we care about. And then he says it's even more explicit in the Kolbo, and he gives you a quote from the Kolbo, as well as the Orachos Chaim, this Orachos Chaim Milunil, as opposed to the various other Orachos Chaims. And he quotes you the Meiri as well. The Meiri is actually a little bit problematic, but what he writes is, if you jump to the Meiri part of this, to the last four lines of this source, he says, "Gam b'sefer beis habechira l'rabbeinu haMeiri kasav b'Yisraelim holchei drachem shenis achsenu b'pundak." You have Jewish travelers who are staying in an inn. V'nechlekul achadarim, and then they split up into different rooms. Ze ochel makom ze, ve'ze ochel makom ze, ve'irbu beinehem. Right? They each have their own room. They made an eruv. Adayin ha'akum oser aleihem. Still, the non-Jew will prohibit for them as a resident until they all arrange, they rent, and or they all go into the same space for Shabbos to eat in one place. He says, since on Shabbos they all eat together, that's what counts. It doesn't matter what you're doing during the week. So he claims that that's the view of all of these various Rishonim, including the Meiri. So that's our second perspective. It's good to have all those Rishonim on your side.
It's good to have all the common soul Rishonim.
Okay, new. So it's one school, but it's a big school.
I mean, not the plus the other, which is Germany, but the other three.
Right. So I happen to think it's logical.
Sorry, you're saying just one, any Shabbos or Shabbos?
No, that Shabbos.
I mean, a lot of what he quotes seems to say that, but like, at the very end, when he's summarizing the eras, the Shabbakol Yimei HaShavua sounds like it's a consistent thing that it's every Shabbos.
I don't think it's what he's saying. No, because he's talking about travelers, and he's saying that all week long they each eat in their own room, but on this Shabbos they all gather together.
Right, just with the assumption that they're there for a week or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise they wouldn't be travelers. They'd be, you know, they'd live there.
Which is earlier he quoted anyways, and it's true of the Shulchan Aruch Rav. It was clear. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says this, and it seems to be true from the Rishon.
Correct. So,
But the earlier part of it is just.
I think this is logical, though, because otherwise, what would we do about the person who goes away for Shabbos? Right? Why would I care about the fact that he's absent on Shabbos? This is makom pito. If you really say what he does during the week matters, so good. He went away on Friday. He's coming back on Sunday. Nonetheless, this is makom pito. So that's a second view. The third view is that you have to eat there in general, but not necessarily the Shabbos. And this is what I saw in a Meiri. So this is why I'm a little bit perplexed. In Yud Ches, he says, Yeroesh.
That's a Chazanesh.
Chazanesh says,
Yud Ches is a Chazanesh.
No, you're using last week's sheet.
Oh, you sent out a
new one? Yeah, I sent out a new one yesterday. Yesterday morning. Yeah, don't use last week's sheet, or you will be missing this, as well as a whole bunch of sources at the end. If you need me to resend, I'll resend. what the Meiri writes. Meiri is on Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. He says Yera Esh Kol Sha Ochlin B'Shabbes Ke'echad. As long as they eat together on Shabbos, Af Al Pi Shechalukim La'atzman B'Chol. Even though they are separate during the week, Nasu B'Shabbes Ke'yachad. They become one on Shabbos. I guess that's not a stira. It's not a stira. No, what he's it bothered me yesterday, but now it doesn't bother me.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
No. What he said was, as long as they eat on Shabbos together, even though they are divided during the week.
The same thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we don't care what happens.
Yeah, no, you're right. It actually is consistent. You're right.
It's clearer, actually, than his line.
Yeah.
That he chooses.
I wonder why I thought otherwise. I have to go back and take a look. It just could just be being tired, but it could be that it came from the rest of the paragraph, because there was more to the paragraph. Either way, the Nesiva Shabbos' position, it's in Perek Chav Ches Ha'ara Beis, as well as Perek Lamed Hey Ha'ara Ayin Beis. He says it's not about food being there this Shabbos. It's about the site being your general place of eating, and that's the position of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish in Tzadi Aleph, I excerpted a bit for you in your test. This is the one where he was asked the question about the five people who had their food together and they didn't make an eruv. So he says, in Beis HaTanur, Hainu Cheder HaTanur, Eino Mekom Pita, if the place where the oven is, meaning the room where the oven is not the place of the bread, Hainu She'ein Ochel Sham Echad Me Anshei Abayis B'Shabbos, meaning that no one from the house is eating there on Shabbos. In brackets he adds, She'ein Ochlin Sham B'chol Shabbos. But he doesn't eat there. They don't eat there every Shabbos. Avol Ma She'ein Ochlin B'Shabbos Zeh Lo Mahani. The fact they're not eating there this Shabbos is irrelevant. It's like somebody who leaves his house and goes to stay in another yard. Dinira da Oser, where the Chazon Ish's position is, in fact, that he will still prohibit. He is not Okir Dirasa. Which, you know, we have to discuss, because that's not what we think. But the,
He says only Dosa Chatzer.
That's true.
I mean,
but that's because of the question of whether you require Okir Dirasa, or physically he's not coming back.
Right.
The,
And this is also part of his, this is his quirky position on
correct.
The house.
Correct.
You know.
So there is this this third point of view. The Nesiva Shabbos himself wasn't so sure about the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Even though, you're right, the Betel HaChachma thinks that it's his, the Nesiva Shabbos in Perek Chav Ches, in Perek Chav Ches, in Ha'ara Beis, he isn't sure whether the Shulchan Aruch HaRav wants the first approach, meaning the approach of the Magen Mishnah on the Rambam, that we said in the beginning, you have to eat there all the time, or that it's just this Shabbos that he wants you to be there. And yes, Grass quotes you a bunch on this. Grass also has another question, which I thought was fascinating. The question of whether it is any Shabbos meal that counts. He says, what if I eat Shalosh Shudas there, but I'm not eating my other meals there? And the reason why he says it is the Aruch HaShulchan's language. If you take a look at Chaf, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, V'cheinim harbe balibatim ochlim b'cheder echad, if a bunch of people are eating in the same room, kol echad al shulchanah, which is his own table, av al pisha kol echad yashim b'cheder b'fnei atzmo, even though they go home and sleep elsewhere, I shouldn't use the word go home, because that's a violation of this whole thing, even if they go sleep elsewhere, home is where your food is, v'gam shoseh sham tamid, and he drinks there also, meaning in the place where he's sleeping. Ve'ochel sham achilas arai, and he eats his temporary meals there, his snacks. Mikomakom eino tzarich eruv. There's or ain't tzarich an eruv. They don't need an eruv. Kevin de besudos hakivuos ochel mecheder echad. Because for the fixed meals they eat in one room. So I think the question is: does shalosh shudas count? Are we drawing a distinction here between the main meals and this? And that will also depend on time of year. Right? At certain times of the year, your shalosh shudas is anything but a se'uda kivua, because you just benched from lunch. So,
but according to Aruch HaShulchan, better be a se'uda kivua.
Because
but
of right, Aruch HaShulchan would like your shalosh shudas to be serious. This is true. Okay. So, but that's an interesting question in its own right. So,
was the question only eating se'uda shalishus in one place and everything else is in a separate place?
Correct. Correct. So the upshot of this, I think, is the view that the Betel HaChachma takes, that you need to be there the Shabbos. You need to be there with your meal the Shabbos for it to be Mekom Pito. In terms of what if it's just Shalosh Shudas, it's an interesting question. I'm not sure how to take it. I also am not sure how to take it, because that means that you ate your other Seudos somewhere else. So why isn't this somewhere else, your Se'uda, your Dira? No?
Yeah.
We're not assuming multiple Diros. So, ostensibly, where you ate the other meals is. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I just assumed that what the Rosh Hashanah was talking about is what he says. The difference is,
correct,
you snack somewhere.
Yeah.
As opposed to meals. Not like Shal Shudah is supposed to anything else. Like, where do you eat most of your meals? That's your...
Right. No, I mean, where the question becomes more relevant is where you eat Friday night dinner in one place and you eat Shabbos lunch in another place. So which one is...
Right.
You're
in a hotel if everyone's eating together for Friday night and then dividing up for lunch.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Or they're having it all in one building, you know, one point, then another building for another point. It's a convention, and who knows what they're doing.
Well, presumably, they're all eating together, both meals, wherever it is, they don't need Eruv.
If they're all, right, but not, but they could be breaking up into different sessions and programs and so on. Not clear to me. What if I just have a Shabbos meal stam as a guest, but it's not my place of eating? I'm just there. So the Gemara in Erevin, Pehe Amid Beis, has a discussion regarding this case of people who are sitting at a meal when Shabbos starts, relying on their food as Erevin. That's going to become important when Rabbi Zering takes over to talk about intent issues and so on. But the Gemara says, I brought you one line from it, in Chaf Aleph, Amrav Yudah Mershmuel, B'nei Chabur Shayu Mesubin V'kidei Shalein Hayom, they could rely on the bread that's at the table and call that their Eruv. Right? That's the way it works. But here's a question. If, when you eat together, no Eruv is necessary, right? That's what we've been saying. So why do you need to use the food as an Eruv? Right? Why not? I don't need an Eruv. We're all eating together. That was easy. So from this, the Nesivah Shabbos concludes, and the Nesivah Shabbos is in Lamed Aleph Ha'arai in Beis, that being invited to somebody's house for a meal doesn't convert it into your place of residence, and we're going to come back to that theme at the end. But the fact that you ate somewhere as a guest does not make it your place of residence.
No, but if you're eating at home meals for Shabbos, you're home, you're eating at, you know, one place Friday night, one place lunch, and short.
So then you have no other place that you would say, this is my dira. So right. Maybe there's an argument to be made, or maybe not. Maybe it's just
Makom Lina.
It's a convenience that they're inviting me over. So, what if my food is there, case we already referred to, but I am away for Shabbos? I'm not in town for Shabbos. So what happens now? Is it my dira? Because that's where my food is, that's where I eat. But I'm just not there now. So here we get to the mission in Erevin. It appears on Pevav Amud Aleph. I brought it with the daf because we also need the Gemara. Otherwise, I would refuse to do so. But a source of base. Mishnah says, Hameniach base of Ahalach Lishbos B'Iracheres. He leaves town. He's going to spend Shabbos in another city. So we have four different Tanoim speaking here. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir's position is, Echad Nachri V'Echad Yisrael Hare Ze Oser. Rabbi Meir says, too bad, that's still your dira. You're away for Shabbos? Enjoy. Everybody else needs an Erev. Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, I mean, they need you, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Oser. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, no, we're good, you're away. Rabbi Yossi Omer Nachri Oser. Yisrael Eino Oser. Shein Derech Yisrael Lavo B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi's position is that the Jew is going to stay where he is over Shabbos. Therefore, he is not part of this whole, this whole area, this whole chatzer, and therefore he doesn't prohibit. But the non-Jew may come home. Now, keep in mind, I didn't stress it. This says be'ir acheres. He's in another city, not another chatzer in this city, but rather in another city altogether. And Rabbi Shimon Omer afilu hiniach beiso v'halach lishbos etzel vito ba'osa ha'ir eino osir. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he is within the same city. This is talking about the Jew, presumably. He's within the same city, and he goes to spend Shabbos with his daughter. He will not prohibit shekvar hisia milibo, because he doesn't think he's coming home. He intends to stay with his daughter. He's not part of this chatzer. He was okir diraso. He uprooted staying there. So in the Gemara on this, Rav halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Rav says, we follow Rabbi Shimon. You went to your daughter. You're at your daughter now. V'davka bito, but only your daughter. Abba Benolo, but not if you're staying with your son. Why? Damri Inchi Navach Bach Kalba, all Navach Bach Gurya Sapok. Because we have a saying, someone has a saying anyway, someone's Inchi, have a saying that says, if a male dog barks at you, you can still come in. His bark is worse than his bite. However, it's a female, then you better get out. So the idea is that there might be some kind of trouble with his daughter-in-law, and his daughter-in-law is going to get angry at him, and things won't go well, and he's going to go home. As opposed to if he stays with his son, with his daughter, in which case his son-in-law may be annoyed, but he'll manage. What in the world this says about family dynamics in the days of the Talmud is fascinating and so far beyond what we're going to discuss right now. There are things to say. I just don't want to say
of the mother-in-law lighting her daughter-in-law on fire. That one,
you know, or any number of other things we could bring. There are a lot of very interesting discussion about this issue, but really, it's not for right now. If you want, I can send you my notes. I gave a shiur on dementia issues and caring for people with dementia, and the question of what if one member of the couple wants his parents or whatever a parent of his to come live there, and the other spouse doesn't want it, and who has the right of refusal, and so forth. These are interesting discussions. The bottom line for our purposes is really the opening part of the line, that the halacha is going to follow Rabbi Shimon. He says that if you left, but you're in the same city, nonetheless, you're not part of the residence, as long as you don't intend to stay. You, as long as you intend to be where you're going, you don't intend to come home. However, one thing that has to be a red flag already is that Rabbi Shimon's statement, you're staying with somebody else, right? This statement of Rabbi Shimon could be taken in two different ways. You could take it as a statement about his daughter, right? In this particular case, or you could take it as a global statement. In general, if you leave and you're going to a place where it's likely you're going to stay there, then we're going to say you're no longer part of this concert for Shabbos. Whereas, if there's a good chance you're going to end up coming home for whatever reason, then you have not abandoned your dira in this chatzer. We brought a very specific case. The question is, how do we read Rabbi Shimon? So the Rambam's position seems to be that the son and daughter are not specific cases. It's just examples. Look at the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel. It's in Source Chav Gimel. Echad b'chatzer sheniach beis avahal v'shavas b'chatzer acheres. Guy leaves his house to go stay in another chatzer. Afilo is a smucha l'chatzer rav, even if it is near his chatzer. Imisiyam ilivo bein daito lanzo lebeis v'shavas areza anoso eino osir alayan. If he is not coming back this Shabbos, so he doesn't prohibit. And then he goes into Jew and non-Jew, which we have to come back to. But the Rambam's position, he doesn't mention anything about daughters and sons. The Rambam globalizes the rule. The Tosefet Shabbos thinks that the Rashba didn't agree with this. I have to admit that I don't understand what the Tosefet Shabbos is doing here, because it seems so obvious that you should read this as the Rambam did. The Tosefet Shabbos, I did not actually bother to retype for you on the sheet, but you can find it in Shin Ayin Aleph Beis. But he gives you this Rashba that we have in Source Chav Dalet. Look at the Rashba. Hameniach is based over Halach Lishbos Eitzel Bito. Guy leaves home to go be with his daughter. Afilu b'osa ha'ir, even in the same city, eino oser, doesn't prohibit. Why? Shefer hisiyah dirasam ilavavalo osa Shabbos. He no longer intends to stay there at Shabbos. V'amet devar ma'amurim, when is this true? B'shoveis eitzel bito, if he's staying with his daughter. Avo b'shoveis eitzel b'no, but if he's staying with his son, oser, he prohibits. She'eino masiyah dirasam ilavavo, because he doesn't really put it out of his heart. So things may not work out with his daughter-in-law. And then he continues. He see a diraso milavavo beferush. If the guy explicitly says, I'm not staying here, then ketzad, what would that be? Shalnu, we asked him. He said, I'm going to my son this Shabbos. And he said, I am not coming home this Shabbos. Eino oser. He doesn't prohibit. He's not there. Halach lishbos v'acheres eino oser shein derech Yisrael lavo b'shabbos, and ditto if you go to spend Shabbos in another city. And then in the next halacha, mi shahalach lishbos eitzel bito o sheisiyah dirasam b'libo b'ferish losa Shabbos, he goes to his daughter, or he says it explicitly, v'nimlach b'chaza. You see what he does. The Rashba builds this all around the son and daughter cases. The Rashba is like that, and the Tur does the same thing in Shin Ayin Aleph. So I didn't bring that part. Actually, no, I did. I'm sorry. If you take a look at Chavav, I don't know why I brought it in Chavav as opposed to Chav Hey. I see why I did it. Yeah, but I shouldn't have. I flipped the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. The Tur writes, "Mishes l'bayis b'chatzav olach mi'ba'od yom lishbos eitzel bito." He leaves to go with his daughter. The reason why I put it after is because of the mi'ba'od yom, which is a separate discussion. But the Tur, his Kate, he brings the bas and ben, son and daughter discussions also. Whereas the Shulchan Aruch does not. The Shulchan Aruch is in Chav Hey, and the Shulchan Aruch just says, "You went to stay in another city." Right, or another yard, I should say. Do you intend to go home? Do you not intend to go home? Beginning, middle, end. Right? So the Tosefta Shabbos says the Rashba, the Rush as well, in Ches Vav, and the Tur actually brought these particular cases, and he says, "I'm shocked at the Shulchan Aruch for not bringing the particular cases and instead following the format of the Rambam." He says, "Don't you know? Haven't you ever read the Shulchan Aruch's explanation of how he paskins?" That's what the Tosefta Shabbos writes. He says, "He told me that he follows the majority between the Rush, the Rashba, and the Rambam."
Always.
Except when he doesn't. So I don't understand how it is that he dropped the Rush and the Rashba here. I'm really not clear at all on what the Tosefta Shabbos is doing here. And in fact, the Bir Halacha in Shin Ayin Aleph, in Hisiach, disagrees with him. I think it's very clear these are examples and not meant as specific things. Whether you chose to quote the Lashon HaMishnah or you chose to summarize it, you know, to my mind, there's only one way to read Rabbi Shimon. This is a broad statement, not a specific statement. Back to the question of the guy who leaves on Shabbos. So what we have then is Rav paskening in the Gemara that we follow Rabbi Shimon. You could be in the same city. If you plan to stay away, you're away. If you might come home, then you're not away. That's easy. What if he leaves on Shabbos itself? So the Torah's language, and that was what I brought you in source Chavav, is Polech Miba'od Yom Lishbos Eitzel Bito. He left before Shabbos. The Kula apparently is only where he left before Shabbos. The Magen Avraham clarifies. If you take a look at Chav Zayin, Nira Li Dinakat Kein Lashmeinan Da'afilu Chazar Eino Oser. He says the reason why we use this expression of Miba'od Yom, as the Torah does, is not to say he has to leave before Shabbos or else he's locked in as a resident of the Chatzer. The Magen Avraham's position is that if he leaves before Shabbos, then he was okay before Shabbos, and even if he returns on Shabbos, he's still not a member of the Chatzer. He doesn't wreck their setup. Whereas if he leaves on Shabbos, then so long as he's away, you're all good. It's just like the case, says the Magen Avraham, of somebody who dies on Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan. The guy dies, so he's no longer a member of the Chatzer. If he didn't participate in the Erev, and no heir shows up, they're fine. I mean, they're upset, I hope, but they're fine. Whereas if an heir shows up, it's like the guy who left on Shabbos and then came back. And at that point, it ruins things all over again. So the way the Magen Avraham understands it is, if you leave before Shabbos, then even if you come back on Shabbos, it doesn't matter. You're not, when Shabbos started, you weren't there. Go back to the snapshot approach. You're not there then. You're not there the rest of Shabbos. And I don't care if you physically show up. That's where I'm going. Don't worry. You're not going to do this without the Bir Halacha. But the Magen Avraham's position is, if you leave before Shabbos, it doesn't matter if you come back. If you leave on Shabbos, while you're away, you're not a resident. Once you come back, you're a resident again. The Bir Halacha says absolutely not, and he gives you three reasons to say absolutely not. First of all, he says the Rashba and the Ritva disagree in the case of death. They say that it remains Asur after the death. If you look in the Avodas HaKodesh that I brought you in Chav Ches, he says, "V'yeroi li shafilo haya yorish darba osa Shabbos imam b'chatzar asur ad shi'evatel." He says, "It appears to me that even if the heir doesn't live on that Shabbos with them in the chatzar, nonetheless, unless he does bizl b'shus, you can't carry there. He is a resident. Shekol shenesa l'mitzah Shabbos nesa v'chol Shabbos ad shi'evatel, because the guy who died on Shabbos was there for part of Shabbos." So that prohibited things for them for the beginning of Shabbos, and it remains us are going forward. I don't even know why I brought that. The statement of the Rashba in the case of the mace is in fact that once it's usher in the beginning, it remains usher even after the death until somebody does bittul. That's number one. Number two, he quotes the Beis Meir, and the Beis Meir says
the Rashba that you put before.
No.
Where he actually addresses it directly.
Yes, and I'm getting back to that too. His second argument, he goes in order, so I'm going to follow his order. His second argument is the Beis Meir. The Beis Meir notes that there are two differences between the case in which somebody leaves the chatzer and the case in which somebody dies. And therefore the mace is really gone, but the guy who leaves is not. He says, first of all, the idea of hisiach mi libo, the guy who says, I'm leaving and I'm not planning on coming back, that's only where you go before Shabbos. Because if he goes on Shabbos, then the fact that he is able to return means he's part of the yard right now. It's as though he never left, because he could return. The mace, we assume, is not coming back on Shabbos.
What does that mean, he could return?
The guy who leaves and says, I'm not staying here for Shabbos. Physically.
Yeah, he went too far.
Yeah.
So,
he went on Shabbos.
Who said when he went to his daughter?
And he left to go to.
No, but who says that when he went before Shabbos that it was too far for him to go? Why are we making that assumption?
It's a function of the fact that he was there when Shabbos started that makes this a factor. If he wasn't there when Shabbos started, I wouldn't care.
I understand, but then why do you need to? I thought you were saying because he couldn't return, therefore he doesn't owe sin. I thought it was because he was there at the beginning of Shabbos. He doesn't know, sir.
Because he was there at the beginning of Shabbos. No. What we're saying is that the idea of Hisiach Milibo is only where he goes before Shabbos. If he goes on Shabbos, Hisiach Milibo is no longer a factor, and therefore all I care about is practicalities. If he leaves before Shabbos, I don't care about practicalities. It's not a matter of could he come back or not.
Right.
He said, I'm not a resident.
Yeah.
He has opted out of the condominium association. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the case of the fellow who leaves on Shabbos, there is no such thing as opting out, and therefore it's a practical question. Can he come back or not?
Oh, are you saying there's the potential that even though we have this snapshot opinion, it can still be a problem if his intent is not to come back?
What do you mean, a problem?
I don't understand what the point of...
The snapshot here, he was there when Shabbos started. They have a problem.
Right, so I don't see what the point of whether or not he comes back is. What is that?
Again, if he left before Shabbos, and he didn't plan to come back, so the snapshot at the start of Shabbos is he's gone. He's not a factor. I don't care if he could come back or could not come back.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
However, if he's there when Shabbos starts, your snapshot is... He's there. He's a resident.
Right, so too, why would I care if he can come back?
So what we're saying is, while you're away, you're asking the question the other way. You're asking, when he's away, why isn't he a member still?
Yeah, once you have the snapshot that he was there at the beginning of Shabbos, I don't care what he does during Shabbos.
Right, and the answer is only that's what we're saying. We're saying that this is one of the rules. Whatever you think about snapshot at the start of Shabbos, it's not so total that if he's really going away, he's still considered dark. If he goes away on Shabbos, says I'm gone, then the snapshot has changed.
Okay.
And in fact, Rashi actually says it. Rashi on Mem Zayin says regarding going to his daughter that it's where he goes Mei Emesh before Shabbos. That's number one. Number two, the Beis Meir says leaving isn't Oker Dirasso the way that death is. It's just two different levels of Oker Dirasso, which I think we can agree makes sense. His third point, and this is I think what you were trying to say, is that the Rashba and the Ritzva write that it's specifically where he leaves me, Be'odiyom. That was their language. That's where he leaves me, Be'odiyom. I actually wondered about that based on the Avodas HaKodesh Dalid Pehe, but that's his third point. So it's a machlokes Magen Avram and Bir Halacha where the guy leaves on Shabbos. According to the Magen Avram, if he leaves on Shabbos, it's okay, so long as he doesn't come back. That's the Magen Avraham's principle is, if you leave before Shabbos and you come back on Shabbos, you're fine. If you leave on Shabbos, you better not come back on Shabbos, or you're going to mess everything up.
Right.
the position of the Bir Halacha is that this is not so.
What I was saying, just that's the Raj was today. The Raj was a, right. It sounds like in Dalet Behei.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Meaning Yesh Miso and Rishav Shachazal Beso. Yesh Migalem or Mishar Lachel.
Right.
And he seems to be addressing.
But he's mentioning both.
Right. I mean, he seems to paskin like the Magen Avraham Lamaskana. Right? Meaning that's the case.
Well, that's what I'm saying. His maskana is Magen Avraham.
Right.
Which is a problem because the Bir Halacha quotes him supporting him.
Right. But he's clearly the other way around. Like, it's like Magen Avraham. It seems to be just the two data that he brings. The Yesh Miso is there, the Yesh Migalem or Lachel.
Yeah. Okay. What about the case of the non-Jew who leaves before Shabbos? Should he be viewed as being Oker Diraso, he no longer lives there? And if so, how far does he have to go? So here you have two things you have to see. Number one is the Mishnah that we already saw back on Pei Vav, which I brought you again on the source sheet in Chavtes, so you wouldn't have to scroll up and down. The Mishnah is, again, Perichas Mishnah Hay, in which we get this four-way machlokas. So in terms of who weighs in on a Nachri, right? Rabbi Meir's position is that the Nachri is just like a Jew. There's no such thing as going away. Yechad Nachri, Vechad Yisrael, I don't care. Hareza Ozer, you're not away, you're there. Rabbi Yehuda says he's just like a Jew. He's out. Eino Ozer, finished. Rabbi Shimon, jumping to the fourth one, Rabbi Shimon says he's like a Jew also. He's out. And even if he's in the same city, he's still out. Right? Assuming that he's staying with somebody who's not going to kick him out. Right? The only one who makes a distinction between Jew and non-Jew is Rabbi Yossi, the third position. Rabbi Yossi says that the Nahri who went away still prohibits because he might come home. He says, a Jew in Derech Yisrael Lavo B'Shabbos. But the non-Jew might come home on Shabbos. Which really just sounds like a variation of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon was weighing possibilities. Are you likely to come home or not? Then Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, non-Jews, why shouldn't they? You know, for them it's Saturday, it's not Shabbos. That's one piece you have to be aware of. The other piece you have to be aware of is Samach Beis Amud Beis. And that's what I brought you in Lamed. They're talking about the issue of Jews living among non-Jews, need to put an Erev, not need to put an Erev. And it says there, Ki Isei, when he is there, and I added in the words in brackets, when the non-Jew is home, Asar, he prohibits. Kilase, when he's out, lo asar, he doesn't prohibit. To which the Gemara asks, v'chilase lo asar, if he's not home, then he doesn't prohibit. Vatnan, what about our Mishnah, in which Rabbi Meir said, hameneach es beis avalach lishbos yiracheres, right, he left home, he went somewhere else, whether he's Jewish or non-Jewish, he's osar. Didn't Rabbi Meir say that the rule is, he prohibits? So the Gemara's answer is, hasam da'asi biyomei. That's talking about where he's coming back that day. And and that's why Rabbi Meir said he is Oser, because he is coming home. So Rabbi Meir, that statement seems to fit Rabbi Yossi. Fundamentally, Rabbi Yossi's statement was, I'm concerned he's going to return that day. When we get to the Shulchan Aruch, we find two positions. The first position is in Lamed Aleph. It says, he leaves home. Till 11. Okay, so back where we were. We were talking about the question of the non-Jew who leaves before Shabbos, and we saw that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi said that the non-Jew is different from a Jew because he may come home, and therefore he prohibits even when he is away. The Gemara in Erev in Samach Beis said that that the non-Jew's house is not an issue when he is absent. We asked, well, then what about our Mishnah, where a mayor said it prohibits even if he's elsewhere? And they said that's the answer. The answer is that's where he could come back that day. Make sure I say that properly. It's not the Asi Biyomi where he actually came, but where he could come back that day. So it seems to fit Rabbi Yossi's position. So the Shulchan Aruch says the following in Source Lamed Aleph. Echad mibnei chatzer shniach beis avalach b'shabbas b'yiracheres. The guy leaves to go to some other yard. Afilu haisa smucha l'chatzero. Even if it is close to his yard. Emisiach milibo ve'idai dolazer l'veisa b'shabbas. So if if he decides I'm not coming home, and he doesn't intend to come home, he doesn't prohibit. When is this true? Be Yisrael, talking Jews. When it comes to the non-Jew, even if he goes to another city, excuse me, not only Chatzer Acheres, which we started talking about, but even if he goes to Yir Acheres, to an entirely different city, Oser Aleim Ad Shisku Imenu Bekomo, Imukar Malach Yom Echad. Then if he's within a day's travel, he will prohibit, unless they rent out his access, Sharei Asher Sheyavo B'Shabbos, because he could arrive on Shabbos. Avalim Rachag Yoser Eino Oser, but not if he's further away. So the first position taken in the Shulchan Aruch is that being in the city in another yard, or even being within a day's travel of this place, he's Oser, he prohibits, he's considered to be here.
Well, obviously they can go pretty far.
Yeah.
They can go very far.
I mean, certainly with Manenu.
Right, yeah.
So the rule is going to be that he's not going to prohibit, and therefore you have to do one of two things. What you need is rent his space, or he has to be more than one day away. The Magen Avraham notes what we're saying here is you have to know that during his trip he was one day away at some point. So you don't have to. Maybe it could be that Friday he came home. Actually, Friday afternoon he came to within a couple hours of the city. You don't need to worry about that. As long as you know that he's been away for a week, and at some point in the trip he was in Melbourne, will be good. Unless we're in Sydney, but that's the first position. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes Yeshomim Shagam Eino Yehudi Im Halach Lishbos B'Chatzer Acheres Eino Oser. Some say no, that that for the non-Jew, even if he just goes to another yard, he will not prohibit V'Chein Nira Iker. And he says, yeah, I think that's it. In other words, he's following Rabbi Shimon. That's the position of Rabbi Shimon. He could come back that day, so therefore we. Therefore, we say that he is considered to be a member of this Chatzer still. However, if you take a look at Shin...
Yeah, I didn't follow.
The Mahalach goes off of the Eno Oser.
Yeah, what did I just say?
The opposite.
Sorry, no. What he says is... I'm sorry, let me restate that. If he goes to say in another Chatzer, Eno Oser, he does not prohibit, he is not a resident, even just by going to another chutzner.
Even though, for sure, he could just come back.
Even though he could come back, correct. Okay.
Is that even if he thinks he's going to come back, or just one case when he presumably is not going back?
The Shulchan Aruch has not said.
Yeah. Now, the first day in Shulchan Aruch, does he really mean, would he say Bizman is that anything short of Melbourne is Mahalach Yom Echad?
I think so. Why not?
What if realistically someone's going to come back from, I don't know, South Africa, which is what, only 17 hours or something like that, on
like Robin de Lande would turn around.
I mean, fundamentally, yeah. He doesn't believe in the concept of a non-Jew being Oker di Rasso. There's no such thing. So as long as he could be here, he's here. That's what it sounds like. It's kind of moot, because he says, I don't agree with that view anyway.
Yeah, it is, once you have that position, but...
It's also worth noting that he says, even within his lenient view, that he can be Oker di Rasso. If you take a look at Shin Pei Gimel and Lamed Beis, he says, Eino Yehudi Hadar Im Shnei Yisraelim Veino Akum Beveso. If the non-Jew is living there, and you've got multiple Jews there, and the Akum is out of the house, Eino Oser, as we've discussed, V'yarvu V'yu Mutarim, the Jews just have to do their own Erev, and that's it. But Ba'akum B'Shabbos, if the non-Jew comes home on Shabbos, Oser, he will prohibit. The Erev Batal, the Erev is now void, because he came home on Shabbos. The Taz is not happy with this idea. The Taz asks, when Shabbos started, you were fine. Mm-hmm. That's the snapshot question, he says in Lamed Gimel.
So it's Shulchan Aruch and the Rashba against the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham of the Taz, it sounds like.
Shulchan Aruch?
Shulchan Aruch seems to be going like the Rashba, right? That if the non-Jew comes back...
Yes.
Yes. That it's... Sorry. Other way around. The Rashba...
Wait. The Rashba we're talking about was the one who took the position that...
The Shulchan Aruch seems to be Machmer.
Like the Magen Avraham.
Right.
Yeah. But that's true.
The Shulchan Aruch seems to be Machmer.
By saying that if he comes back... Right. Unless they're going to distinguish between Yisrael and Nahri. Yisrael has a concept of Oker di Rasso and Nahri does not.
Right.
So the Taz writes... Vikasha, Im Kain, Kiva Akum B'Shabbos, Am I Oser? Right? Am I Oser, Khan? Why should he be Oser when he shows up? Why does that wreck everything for everybody else? Hanimlochu, he changed his mind by Meshavah B'Shabbos, by coming home on Shabbos, right? But when Shabbos started, he wasn't there. Why is it that when a Jew comes home, we say you're okay? The Jew left before Shabbos, we say he's gone. He comes home on Shabbos, we're still fine. Why is it that it shouldn't be so regarding the non-Jew? Why would you want to make any distinction? So the Taz answers that he is like a Yisrael. The Taz says the truth of the matter is we view him the same way as a Yisrael. He says, "Val karchach near the be'emes ein chiluk bein akum liYisrael." There is no distinction. Ella b'safek lanu be'erev Shabbos im yavo b'Shabbos. The only question is, what if we're not sure whether he is going to come home on Shabbos or not? Ubazet pligi gabe akum b'Shabbos tanoi b'Mishnah or b'Mishnah seinu, I suppose. He says that's where the Tanam had their machlokis in the Mishnah. I don't know whether he's coming back on Shabbos. V'echriya Rama. I don't know why he says Rama. Lahakil ba'akum b'safek. The Rama's position is to be lenient regarding the non-Jew if you're not sure. Ubazet pasak dimba b'Shabbos ha'akum oser. And therefore he ruled that if the non-Jew comes on Shabbos, he will prohibit. V'lam rinan bazeh Shabbos shahutra, etc. We don't say snapshot from what it was at the beginning of Shabbos. Kevan shalo hutr elami kawach safek, since it was only permitted because of doubt in the first place. Meaning, I don't know how to paskin, and I don't know, and I don't know whether he's coming home. So alright, so I'll be lenient. But the moment he comes home, that bursts the bubble. Your question, but if I know that he's not coming home on Shabbos, and he's decided he's not coming back, but then he happens to change his mind, then he says, no, the Mishnah Yisrael, then he's willing to say that the guy's out and finished. That's the Taz's position. The Taz also notes that if he routinely goes away and returns on Shabbos, your Erev is no good. The Taz is a separate note in the Taz, and I brought it in Lamed Daled. He says, "Mashmud lo ichpas lan v'meshi yachol lavo b'Shabbos." It sounds like we don't care that he could come home on Shabbos. The Kashi says this is difficult. Hapaskina b'simin shin samachay siv zayin dim omid listor b'Shabbos puzzle. We say regarding Tzuras HaPesach that if it's going to fall apart on Shabbos and you know it, then it's no good from the start. So why is it any good here when you know he's planning on coming home? The truth is, I think there are reasons to distinguish.
Yeah,
but that's what his argument is. He says, "Yesh Lomer."
A lot of discussion
in the Achron. Yeah. He says, "Yesh the Asam Magri Shiragil B'Shabbos Liskal Kel could go on Yedei Akum Shiragilin Bekach." He says the Tzuras HaPesach case is where there are people who like to sabotage your eruv. Mashen King Khan Din Achanami Din Akum Rugilach or the base of Osayom the Oster, as opposed to here, where if he regularly comes home, you're right. Then it's Oster. I mean, the whole idea here is very odd, this whole connection that he's making, but...
Well, right. A lot of Akarnam point out, doesn't... They have nothing to do with each other. The question there is considered a wall, and the sheer of will it last through Shabbos, is it...
Is the definition of the wall.
Yeah, it's not like... It's just a quality... It's a quality question, right, that defines wall.
Yeah.
Here it's a... There's a lot of discussion. I think either Simon has a long discussion of it, or someone had a long discussion that I saw.
The Bir Halacha disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch regarding the Yakum being in another chatzer. The Bir Halacha says that the Or Zerua thinks even being in another yard is sufficient, but everyone else rules that you need another city for the Yakum. Everyone else, besides the Or Zerua, says that unlike what the Shulchan Aruch says, he actually has to be in a different city. It's not sufficient to say he's local, but he doesn't plan to come home. They're disagreeing with the Yesh Omer, in other words. Okay. There's a lot more to see on this issue. If you want to take a look in the Chazon Ish, Pei Beis Chaf Dalet, he does more in terms of the different shitos here. But what we've said, to sum up what we've got so far before I go to the two last points, number one, in terms of when you have to eat there, the dominant view does seem to be the view that says you have to eat there this Shabbos. What do you have to eat there this Shabbos? So the Rabbi Grau's book says he's not sure if it's Shalosh. What if it's just Shalosh Shudas? You need Sudos Kavuos, perhaps. Again, I'm still a little bit confused by that question. I don't know what you did with your other two meals. What if I just have a Shabbos meal stam as a guest? but it's not my place of eating. So then we say that that doesn't make it your place of residence, and we're going to come back to that in a moment. What if my food is there, but I am away for Shabbos? So that's where we have this Mishnah on Pei Vav, where we end up with multiple views, and a machlokas, Magen Avraham, Bir Halacha, regarding the fellow who leaves on Shabbos. Regarding the fellow who leaves before Shabbos, so it's clear, we're going to follow Rabbi Shimon. And we're going to say, so long as the presumption is you're not coming home, you know, you're not part of this chatzer. However, if you leave on Shabbos, then it's a machlokas, in which the Magen Avraham says that it's okay as long as he doesn't return. If he leaves on Shabbos, it's okay as long as he does not return. But if he returns, in fact, then it's going to be Asur. And the Bir Halacha disagrees and says, if you're out, you're out. And then we had the whole discussion about the non-Jew. Okay. So, two other notes. What is the status of, as I said in the beginning, a community that eats all its meals in a main dining room, but the individuals live apart and own the right to their individual meals? So, they're clearly not like the students we mentioned in Tosfos, right, the Talmidim. Because here, they each pay for their own food, and they own it separately. They are separate residents. On the other hand, they're eating together. So the Rama seems to say in... where did I bring it on here? Hang on. In Lamed Zayin. The Rama would seem to say that one Erev works for all of them, because they eat together. Right? The Shulchan Aruch writes, Anshei Chatzer she'kulam ochlen al shulchan echad. They all eat together. Then, even though each one has his own house, Einam tzrichin Erev. And the Rama writes, even though each one has, I'm doing it quickly because I realize that, you know, we lost some time and now we're hitting 11 already. But even though each one sleeps in his own room, nonetheless, it's one Erev for all of them. Because they eat together. So from this, the Rama would seem to say that, one Erev works for everybody, because they eat together. Not when I say one area works for everybody, it means they're all together. Because they eat in one space. And you find that in the Aruch HaShulchan, Shin Ayin, Yudzayin, as well as in the Chazon Ish, in Sadi Aleph. Aleph, with the question of the five houses with their food in a joint room. And in fact, the Menchas Yitzchak rules this way as well. I brought you the one line from his Psak summary. It's Psak Hey. In his summary, he says, Imochum Kulum Bakum Echad, Ein Atzarech Erev Chatzeros. That's good. But then he says, Dafkim Ochlem Kulam B'chol Pam. Everybody eats in the dining room every time. If some of them, Ktsas, which I don't think means one, but I don't know what it does mean.
Ochlem B'chol Pam. It's assumed it meant one.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think he would have used the word Echad.
Unless he's just saying Ethnomasias, you know.
Mm-hmm. If some of them eat in their rooms, he says, then they will indeed prohibit for each other.
Why wouldn't one be enough?
Conceptually, one seems to be the logical thing. It's Rokulamo.
Why wouldn't one be enough? Just because it's hard conceptually to think that Ktsas means Echad. From a pure logical perspective, you're right. In other words, we have two residents now. We have one which is made up of 900 people, and we have one which is one person.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's true. The Chatas Yaakov has a different objection, which I thought was interesting. I gave you the link to it. I didn't bother to retype it. I gave you the link on Lama Test. And the Chatas Yaakov, it's Tinyana, which took me a while to find. But he has an objection. He says, these are like the shepherds. They would be much happier if they could eat in their rooms, right? He's dealing with a senior's residence specifically. So he says they would be very happy if people would stop bothering them to go to the dining room. They'd like to eat in their own room if they could. So he argues that you should make an Eruv, but without a bracha. I personally wonder if that's true, because I think you have to be careful about the definition of convenience and preference, meaning there are all sorts of benefits that come with joint meals. You know, the idea of them socializing together, the idea that someone can look in on them and make sure they're eating properly.
Or they would prefer, but the aides who need to be there for them are only going to be in there.
Right. So I don't think you necessarily say in a vacuum, well, I'd be happier if they would provide for me here. Because you say the same thing with the shepherds also.
I'd be happy if I could move in with my kids.
Yeah. So I'm not so sure about that. Now, the other note that, of course, requires discussion, but that's going to be a later shiur, is the question of whether they're all one resident because there's property in their room that's owned by the nursing home, and they could be moved from room to room and so forth. That's a whole other discussion which we have to get to, but that's not this shiur. Last item, if a family gives Shabbos food to another family after they have a baby, so are they mekabli pras? So we said that where they receive food from a single source and eat in separate locations, right, the mekabli pras, and there are no other residents, they're not merging with another chatzer, then they're fine with one eruv, otherwise they need an eruv. So the Shulchan Aruch applies this to cases where they fit as one household. And I brought it for you, Shinai and Vav, in Mem, the fellow who has the five wives, the Talmud who is receiving food from his Rebbe, in those cases, they fit as one household. Rabbi Grass already notes in page 128, Ha'ara Lamed Zayin, that today this doesn't happen in Yeshiva because you're not getting your food, you know, from the Rebbe. But the key is really this Mishnah Brura, which goes back to what we had said about the guest for a meal. He says, the reason why pras works for you to be considered part of this is because you are drawn after them. But it isn't as though every time somebody gives you, you know, food on Shabbos, now you become a member of his dira, or a member of his household. And I think the same thing is true regarding the people who just had the baby. I don't think that getting your meals from somebody else makes you a part of their deal, right? I think that you're like what the Mishnah Berurah is saying here, that you're still on your own. Right?